Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, what's up, everyone? Peter here with Gamertag Radio. Welcome, everyone. This is episode 815. You can tell there's no Danny. There's no Paris. It's just me all by my lonesome all over again here watching over the Gamertag Radio mothership. So thanks, everyone, for listening over here on your favorite podcast app over at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, Stitcher, wherever else you can. Or if you're watching live on Twitch, thank you so much over here at twitch.tv/Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to leave feedback, good or bad, or you just want to leave us a voicemail, here's how.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so this week has had some pretty interesting news, especially today and yesterday. The Federal Trade Commission here in the United States has decided to investigate loot boxes in the United States. Come on, that's totally different. Not something I was really expecting to hear here. So yesterday, what happened was Senator Maggie, I believe her name was Hassan, she was questioning the FTC during a Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Subcommittee meeting, and she cited a report from Great Britain's Gambling Commission that found that 31% of children had paid money to open a loot box at some point, right? She also mentioned how countries like Belgium, Japan, and others were working on how to limit the way that they could be used in games. Now, it's funny because it's also the one-year anniversary since EA's Battlefront 2 loot box snafu. And now it seems like the state and federal legislation, you know, the legislators around the country now are going to try their hand at taking further action. Previous attempts at this have failed, right? So Hawaii, Washington, California, and a few other states had tried to do this at some point in 2017 and, you know, the beginning of 2018, and it whether it failed or it stalled or they didn't get the requisite votes to do it. Now, the question that's at stake, and I'm going to ask the listeners, you know, or what have you, if you're listening and you have a question, you know, hit us up. Let us know how you feel about this. But are loot boxes considered gambling? Are they really gambling? I know this is a real volatile question, and it is what it is. So, but I want to hear the discourse. I want to hear the discussion from our listeners. How do you feel? Do you think that it is considered gambling? I mean, at the end of the day, and this is my personal opinion, right? You're still getting something in return. That value may vary to you and to whomever else may have gotten that particular loot box, but it's not like you're left empty-handed in any way, shape, or form. Right, you still get something tangible, whether it's a skin that you may or may not use, if it's a weapon, whether it changes the game or whatever. You're at least walking away with something in your hands. It's not like you go to the store and you buy the dollar lottery, you know, the scratch-off tickets, and you try and play and you get nothing in return. That, in my personal opinion, is what gambling is. You're paying for a chance at winning something versus a loot box where you don't know what you're going to get and you could walk away with something cool. You could walk away with something crappy. You could walk away with nothing at all. And in that respect, I would not want it. Like, I wouldn't want to go into a game and get a loot box and I'm like the outlier, right? Because I have disposable income. I'm one of the lucky few that can do that, right? So I am the wallet warrior. But when it comes to things like loot boxes, as long as I'm getting something and I'm not paying actual cash value, if I'm playing in-game money, than, you know, something that I can acquire through gameplay, I don't feel personally that it's a large, you know, it's a bigger concern. Now, as a parent, I do understand the ramifications on children, because kids, when they're younger, may not understand how gambling works, or, you know, the mechanisms behind, you know, a loot box like the ones that were implemented by EA for Battlefront 2. So, and in that regards, as a parent, yes, I would want something that helps protect them and also prevents them from building a poor set of understanding. And I'm trying to figure out how to word this right. Teaching them that, you know, the gambling component of it is wrong, but understanding that if you win something through hard work, you should be okay. And I don't know if I really got that out correctly. But again, I do like the way, I do like that it's coming back into the public eye. It has to be spoken about, right? You know, we've seen countries in the EU, they've banned it. You know, game manufacturers, developers, and publishers have actually had to redefine how their game works now in regards and in respects to loot boxes. I think they do have a place in gaming. I think maybe the way that it's been implemented, you know, with things being a little wishy-washy for gamers, I think it could be done better. But I'm interested to hear what our listeners and what our viewers are watching, you know, are thinking. What do you think would do justice to loot boxes? Do you think, because I know there's a contingent of people who don't even want loot boxes in the game. Like if they're going to be in there, then there should be an exorbitant price, or do you want no loot boxes, period? I mean, what do you think is the right thing to do? I know I'm looking at the chat, and I know Danny hates this, but I'm gonna do it anyways. We've got one of our mods here. Technically, it is gambling. Wishing and hoping that you get the best thing from it, but like you said, you always get something. And when the chances are 0.0005% to get something, that's kind of rough. Don't quote me on the number, because I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, as long as you can gain that item through gameplay and you're not using hard-earned cash, like you can't go in, throw credit cards in there, then I'm fine with it. And as long as it doesn't change, you know, the competitive nature of a game, right? I know as a self-proclaimed wallet warrior, I've been there myself. I've done that. I've gone in and played and thrown my wallet at things and gotten components of games that I shouldn't have early on. But that's me personally. Again, I see both sides of it. I see the adult side and I see the child side of it. You know, I want to be able to make sure that there's protections for children in the games. But I don't know. I don't have an issue as bad with the loot boxes, so long as it's something that you get something, as so long as you don't go in and you get these loot boxes that people are paying for with cash and there's a zero value item in there. Like there's not, like you open it up and it's basically dust. That would not be cool. And in that respect, I believe it is considered gambling, but we'll see what happens. So we'll see soon. I don't know when the next subcommittee hearing is going to be, but I think myself and the rest of the folks here at Gamertag Radio and our listeners, we'll be paying much, much closer attention to this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
So the next major news that popped up, actually it popped up just a few hours ago. Obsidian and Private Division will be teaming up with the original creators of the Fallout franchise, Tim Cain and Leonard Boyarsky. For those that aren't aware, they were the original creators of Fallout. Obsidian did New Vegas, which is generally considered the best iteration of the franchise. Private Division is no slouch themselves. Kerbal Space Program is a huge fan favorite. A lot of fans. I know my son loves it. I've got friends, you know, that still play it to this day. And we'll see more at the Game Awards on December 6th at 9 p.m. Eastern. We will be co-streaming the Game Awards. So I'm interested, though, just like in everything else, I want to know what you guys or girls are anticipating or think you're going to see. I've heard that we're looking at, and I'm going to ruin this. I don't even know if I want to say it, but I'm interested in seeing what they're going to deliver, especially with all of the mud to the face that Bethesda's gotten with the Fallout franchise, with the launch of 76. I'm curious to see what they're going to bring as a brand new IP. This is totally new, totally fresh, unseen game. And I'm hyped just because it's a new IP. I think everybody as a gamer should be excited for a new franchise. Why not? I mean, I'm wearing an Assassin's Creed shirt, but Assassin's Creed has kind of gotten the franchise fatigue. And we've got Fallout now 76, which is the fifth Fallout. If you want to count Shelter, that's the sixth Fallout. You know, we're surrounded by multiple IP franchises here. When we do get those new single, you know, those new IPs, that's when we as gamers, as well as developers and publishers, get to flex their muscle. That's when we get to see those experimentations go good or bad sometimes. I'm not going to say it all. I mean, we saw what happened with our favorite battering ram, Sunset Overdrive, but then they turned it around and we have Spider-Man, which is my potential game of the year right now. So I want to see more. I can't wait till next week. I can't wait to see what Obsidian and Private Division have in store for us for this new title. And again, we will be co-streaming the Game Awards here on the Twitch channel. If you want to watch it, come stop by. We'll be doing, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know if, I know there's some Twitch extensions that they'll be providing people who are co-streaming the Game Awards, which will allow us to tally and collate votes prior to the announcements and things like that. I can't wait. I know Danny gave me some guff the other day for what I said about Monster Hunter World. I still stand by my convictions and my statements. I don't think it was worthy or I don't think it was worthy of a game of the year contention, but hey, it's my opinion, right? And we're all entitled to our opinion. And so I'd like to know, what is a title of a, what is a game that came out in 2018 that didn't make game of the year, but you feel deserved it? And I'd like to hear or see that, whether it be in the chat, or I'd like to, you know, send me a voicemail or send us, you know, a message on Twitter, or send it to fanmail at gamertagradio.com. I'd love to see what other people are playing, just to see that whole thing. And I think I'm going to talk to Paris. Hopefully he'll be able to make it on Sunday for our show. I want to try to do somewhat of like a Game Awards, not wrap up, but kind of like, you know, what he thinks will win, what I'll think will win. And, you know, just go through that whole list of announced titles for each category. Tetris Effect. Yeah, that's one of Danny's favorites. I think no, that's not Danny's. Danny loved Tetris Effect, but the one that he really, really loved was, what's the other one? I can't remember the title of it. Dead Cells? He says that's his game of the year. So, surprising. That didn't make it. Was it even in the indie section? The best indie games or whatever? Interesting. Very, very interesting. One last, there's two more things I want to talk about today on the show. Interesting article came about. My son sent it over to me, and him and I had a short discussion about it. Esports and valuation as tech companies, right? So I started doing a little bit of research. We know Rick Fox bought into esports a few years ago after his career in basketball. And now Echo Fox is, you know, they were in the spring finals for League of Legends, and you know, they've been doing phenomenal. The GOAT, Michael Jordan, bought into Team Liquid a few months ago with his investment team, or with his investment company, for a cool $26 million. Steph Curry bought into Team Solomid last year. I think it was last year, maybe it was earlier this year, with his investment group when they helped raise $37 million to TSM Reggie. And now Grammy-winning artist Drake helped Nadeshot and his 100 Thieves brand complete a Series A funding round. It's no exact dollar figure for what they contributed, but it did put them in the green with $25 million in funding. And if we think about it, esports as a whole, their companies have the highest valuation in entertainment, higher than companies you would not believe. The NBA, the NFL, and even tech giants like Apple and Google. If we take companies such as Cloud9, right? We're going to call them a company because at this point, with the amount of money that they're flipping around, they have a valuation of $310 million with $22 million in revenue for 2017. Just mentioned Team Solomon, TSM. They were valued at $250 million with $25 million of revenue. These are insanely crazy numbers. Things, honestly, before I started doing my research on this, I didn't even think that that was possible. I didn't think that $250 million as a valuation or $25 million in revenue was even a possibility. Even though knowing that, you know, Cloud9 and TSM and Genji and SK Telecom or whatever, those are all, you know, esports organizations I never thought would make those kind of numbers. But when is the bubble going to burst? I mean, we saw this happen in the United States with the housing market back in 07, 08, where, you know, companies got flooded with cash and just things got ridiculous. But when will it hit its ceiling and when will it burst? You've got organizations like these that have to find a way to be able to continue to scale out and build recurring revenue streams and keep making money. I'm a big fan of the 100 Thieves brand with Nadeshot and stuff like that. So I try to help support it. But with a clothing line, unless you're going to continually manufacture clothing and every season pop out with new clothes and and have a supply or an inventory that can support the organization or keep bringing in revenue, fine. But the way that they keep putting out limited inventory caps, it's going to hinder the way that they can manufacture or keep building these revenue streams. So how else are they going to do it? They go to competitions, but are they really winning competitions that are going to, you know, that are going to funnel large amounts of cash back into the organization, A, to help pay off some of these buy-ins, to help give out dividends to their investors? Because at the end of the day, Drake didn't throw in all this cash to help become part of 100 Thieves to not make any money. Same with Steph Curry, same with Michael Jordan and Rick Fox and everybody else that's done things like this. You go into business to make money. So what are things that they can do to make money? I mean, we've seen Call of Duty has the championships, but that's for Activision. How does that, I mean, maybe a little bit of marketing and things like that. Maybe putting, you know, maybe their merch tables make some pretty good cash, but is it enough to continue to build more money for these brands or for these esports organizations? When or will they hit that bubble? Will they hit that ceiling? Will they burst? That's going to be very, very curious to see coming up in the next, you know, 1 to 2 years. I know Paris has said, you know, the streaming thing, you know, with YouTubers and Twitch partners and things like that, how there's some people that make, you know, we've seen the numbers like Ninja and Shroud and those where they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. There's a sports athlete that got injured and now he's doing Twitch and making like $4,000 or $5,000 a month in sponsorships and donations and subscriptions. It's crazy. But when will this stop? Will it stop? Right? How will, you know, Twitch and YouTube continue to be able to raise enough funding to continue to help this market grow? And with the influx of everyone trying to be a streamer, ourselves included, is there enough room for everyone? I mean, there's only a finite set of eyeballs in this world. There's only a finite set of eyeballs watching Twitch and or YouTube at any given time. When or how will that money start making it to everybody? I don't know. It's very, very curious. It's something that I watch on the side, kind of like as my hobby. I know, you know, like Danny does politics, and so I've always watched the back end machinations of how Twitch and how YouTube works and how it makes money. And I'm curious to see it. I'm very, very curious to see how this, not just like, you know, content creation and stuff, but how this in conjunction with esports, because they go hand in hand. How will that continue to work out in the future, in the near future? And will we still see esports organizations? If they, at this rate, will we see, this is probably the better question, will we continue to see esports organizations get to the level of, like, and I'm going to say the Denver Broncos because that's my favorite football team, but are we going to see them in the same vein as a Golden State Warriors, a Chicago Bulls, as a New York Yankees organization, which makes money hand over fist? All you have to do is say the word and people, you know, are clamoring for hats and jerseys. And so I went to the Miami Heat game last night. And yeah, I threw the wallet at a couple of items because they were dope. Right. But how much longer can it sustain itself? Right. Especially, apologies if I brought this show down to like CNN money or whatever, but it's something to think about. It's something to think about. I mean, I definitely see the potential. I cut cable, and that's probably like the one way to get into that whole market is to see how that changes. It's best. I think I was watching, I forgot who it was, but he said, you have to start going at, you have to change the way you approach ventures such as esports or content creation. You can't do it the same way that the people from the last 10, 20, you know, 50 years before you have done it. You have to do it differently. I know somebody in the chat right now is talking about virtual reality gameplay. I'm still skeptical about AR, VR as a whole. I still don't think that it's matured as a technology. There, I definitely see the potentials for it, either in gaming or in professional or technical applications. I'd love to be able to see it set to music, set to music, and see things like that where you can engage with audiences through virtual reality on stream. I think that would be a really dope way to do things. I think I saw an ad on TV the other day about, I think it was two actors. They were watching a movie in VR and talking to each other, but they were in two separate states or something like that. Things like that. There's so many options and so many ways that this technology and this whole space is going. I want to see where it goes in the future. It's definitely has this potential, but my fear is that it's going to hit a cap or a level at some point. And then, you know, as the things start to fall apart or fall to the wayside, I think I think the only ones that are going to be able to survive that hit or that cap when it hits that ceiling are people like the Shrouds or like Ninja, who have already built that such a massive following that it's really like, unless something tragically bad happens to them, either from a PR standpoint or whatever, and I don't wish any of that on anybody, some kind of, you know, PR gaffe that causes them to lose that following. It's the only way that I see in the near future that they start to fall off, and they have to start building that brand. We've seen it with Ninja. He started to partner with PC companies, and we've seen it with Shroud, with Jinx clothing and, you know, and the shoes and things like that. It's people need to make these businesses, because that's essentially what they are now. That's their livelihood. How do you maintain that livelihood? How do you maintain that amount of cash flow coming in? So it's going to be very, very curious to see how this comes up. And speaking of streaming, follow it up with this last topic that I wanted to talk about. Shout out to the folks at shadow.tech, or Shadow for short. They sent me access to a streaming PC technology. And so I was skeptical about it, right? We've seen things like this in the past. We've seen things like this fail miserably in the past. So I came into this with a little bit of trepidation, and I wasn't sure how it was going to work out. I may blow it away and do it on stream so people can see what it's like for the whole setup. But you're basically starting off, like once you get your account and you log in, you basically hit go, and you have a PC on the internet in some world, right? Like I think mine is based out of a data center in New York. In the US, there's New York and California, and they're slowly expanding so that they can be in more data centers. But you basically start off with a Windows 10 PC, and it's got 12 gigs of RAM. It's an 8-core Intel Xeon CPU, 256 gig hard drive. And then I was like, okay, well, this is a standard PC. I saw the NVIDIA logo pop up on the bottom of the taskbar, and I was like, well, let's see what this is all about. I clicked on the button, and I was able to upshoot my resolution, not just to 1440, 144 hertz like my monitors here at home, but I was able to nail 4K 60 through NVIDIA through the NVIDIA application on this Shadow PC. So what you do is you log, you know, once you get your credentials and you have your account, you basically press go. It fires up the PC, and next thing you know, you've got a PC streaming on your desktop. And so I was curious what kind of speed and performance this box was doing. And so I went to speedtest.net and hit go. Next thing you know, I'm seeing it hit 1 millisecond of latency, which blew my mind. I mean, you know, I've got pretty decent internet here at home, and I get like 5 or 8 milliseconds, sometimes 11 if there's, you know, if my family's really using the network. And then the speed hit, and it was getting a gig of download and 100 megs up. So that is a phenomenal amount of bandwidth for a device. And I was like, okay, so we've got compute, we've got storage, we've got RAM. We know that the video works, and we know the network is going to be good. But how good is this video is this GPU in there, right? Because most games, if you've got a really good CPU and a really, really bad GPU, sometimes the CPU can make up for some of the misgivings of that GPU and take on some of that horsepower and take on some of that processing power. So I fired it up, and I used Cinebench, which is a benchmarking utility for GPUs for graphic cards. Looked it up. Apparently these machines are running Quadro P5000s from NVIDIA, which are high end. When we talking like high end, like $2,000 for a graphics card, maybe more. You know, because that was just a quick Google search on there. So I was like, all right, well, let's do a benchmark. I did some benchmarking and fired up. I downloaded and installed Cinebench, and it outperformed 1080 results. Like I have my results from when I had the 1080, and it blew it away. And I was like, whoa. So I started doing a comparison parts to parts. 2560 CUDA cores. It's comparable to a 1080, same clock speed basically as a 1080 reference model. So right there, you're on the money. And then that's when I started playing around with resolutions and speeds. 1440, 144 megahertz, no problem. 4K 60 is not an issue. It's available to do it. I don't have the game. I don't have any games installed on there just yet. I just wanted to do a quick impressions of this first time run through. If you're interested in it, it's $35 a month. It is a subscription-based model. You can access it on anything. You can access it on your PC. With your Windows PC, if you've got a Mac and you can't game on it, download the application. You can stream it to your laptop, whether it's a Mac, Surface, smartphone, tablet. It doesn't, even if you're running Even if you're running Linux or an Ubuntu distribution, you can run it on that and you can play your favorite games on your PC wherever you want to go. You can play it on the fly. I don't know how well it's going to be able to do. I'm going to play around with it on my cell phone or on my iPad and see how that works out. But I mean, so far it looks pretty, it's basically Netflix with a PC. When I showed it to my son earlier, you know, I went through, you know, the performance stuff and then I showed him the speed. He's got an older PC in his room. You know, he's a college student. So you know, he's got NVIDIA 760 or something in there with like an i3 or an i5. No, I'm sorry. He's got an i7. I think it's like a 3770. So he's got an older model PC. He can, if he had $35 a month to spend, he could do something like Shadow and basically play, you know, the highest resolution game. He could play Far Cry 5 on Ultra. He could play anything he wanted on Ultra, and he wouldn't really have to worry about his machine chugging or overheating or freaking out. So if you're curious and interested, check it out. You know, it doesn't hurt to investigate. Go to shadow.tech. Just open up a web browser, go to shadow.tech. You're going to check him out on Twitter. You can go to shadow_USA for more information on that.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
I think I'm going to call it. That's about it. And let me see. What can we do? Let's see, we got the Game Awards coming next week. Hopefully we'll be able to get not just me, but somebody, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get Paris on here to do, you know, some live reaction stuff. Regardless, it will be co-streamed by at least myself. So I hope to see you here soon. So that's about it. If you've got any questions, comments, or concerns, please send us a message over at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. You can hit us up on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, or any of those other platforms. Once again, this is Peter for Gamertag Radio. This is episode 815. Thank you, everyone. Thank you very much for listening and or watching. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage, and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.